Hey guys, Emily Gates here. You are listening to part two of our Service Council series. I hope you're enjoying the interviews, and here is Dr. Lamb.
Hey guys, thanks for staying with me. I'm enjoying these conversations with our Service Council leadership team. Caden Weber, how you doing, Caden?
I'm doing well. Excited to be here.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you joined us now. This is late in the day for you because you're part of a thing called the Breakfast Club that meets like early in the morning, right?
That's right. Yeah, so on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we have shift leaders go to the Cleveland Emergency Shelter from 5 to 7 a.m. So pretty early morning, like you said. But we cook for about an hour is usually how long that takes. And then by the time the residents are up at 6, we're there just to sort of socialize and let the residents know that we're there for more than just to drop off a donation, I guess. Like, we like to have them see the faces that cared enough to like provide the breakfast.
Sure.
So that it feels a little more consistent and relational, because we don't want there to be like this turnover in volunteers and then the same people never show up ever again. We want to be able to build relationships to some extent, whatever possibility that is.
So this organization is actually serving students serving residents who are in a local homeless shelter, community shelter. They have a place to sleep at night, then they go out during the daytime and work or whatever they're doing, right? So in what ways are you seeing an impact on the people because of the service with this club?
Well, from my experience, I think the most impactful thing is just like being receptive to like a conversation, even if the conversation itself is pretty mundane. Mm. There are a lot of people that sort of will come into contact with these individuals but don't acknowledge them directly per se. So I don't know, for me growing up, like I came into contact with a lot of homeless people, but I was sort of like conditioned to not like look them in the eye. They might ask for money. Mm-hmm. Or don't get too close or they might mug you. So which a lot of that is just like out of fear and like not knowing enough to know what their motives are. So when you talk to these people, you know like what their situation is and like their desire to get out of their current mm-hmm. situation. So it just brings awareness. And yeah, I'd say just being willing to listen is something that gives them a little more confidence to go out through their day and not feel as invisible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answered the question.
Oh yeah, but, absolutely. Okay. It does. It's because what I'm hearing you say is a key factor that we're aware of, and it's a relationship. So mm-hmm. basically, so now how long have you been involved in the club?
That's an interesting question, because the club just became official last semester. Mm-hmm. But I've been going to the shelter in some capacity since my first semester here. So I've been going for 4 semesters.
Yeah. So the club name kind of evolved last semester, but yet this has been an ongoing process for a while.
Right.
So having been there for that long, right? So what are you seeing in the way of the development of the relationship between those who go and serve and those who continually live in that setting, you know? So are you seeing like a mature development in any way, you know, on either side of the house?
There are instances of that for sure. I mean, ideally, obviously, so a resident doesn't stay in a shelter for all that long. Mm-hmm. So it can be hard to have that long term, just because you don't, on one hand, you want to see that relationship grow, but you also, if someone's in a shelter, it's probably not for a good reason.
Okay.
So there are definitely cases I've had where I noticed people being a little more, a little less wary of approaching me. Because I think at first they expect a bunch of college kids to not want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see those walls come down by the time that they're done living at the shelter for 2 weeks or a month or however long it is usually. And sometimes especially if they're on disability checks or if they have kids, they're there longer. So those are good examples of seeing people sort of like have their walls torn down socially. But yeah, it's really situational, because some people never get over that. Mm-hmm. And that's sad, but it's just because they've been callous from having so many people overlook them for so long. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, like there's not just much we can do by just breakfast alone that will fix mm-hmm. that. But I'd say on the whole, it does do a lot to sort of give people the confidence to approach
sure.
people in the, like, I don't know how to say that, like people in the world who they might be overlooked by otherwise.
Mm-hmm. I think you said it very well, actually. So you said, again, these are Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday mornings, right? So
yes.
How does someone, if they want to get, you know, connected to your club and they want to participate, are there any prerequisites? What do we need to know? How do people connect with you guys?
So there aren't really any prerequisites, I would say. We are still in the process of trying to figure out how we have a huge mailing list from Club Lee, and we're super thankful for that. But we do have certain parameters that we have to follow from the shelter of as far as we can only take a certain amount of volunteers every day just because of the size of the shelter. So to be honest, I'm still trying to figure out like how I'm going to get this huge volume of students who want to serve in. But it's tricky because, like I said, it hasn't been a club for that long. It's just been sort of student led and like underground. So it's, I'm still praying about how I'm going to make more of an infrastructure for something that did was essentially just sort of like a passionate friend group for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't, yeah, for right now, we're just combing through like mailing lists mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
So. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to reach out to you guys, do you have an email address or something they can connect with?
I mean, there are three different days of shift leaders that mm-hmm. you could contact directly.
Okay.
So should I?
Yeah, just give us an email where they can reach
yeah,
out.
Yeah, so mine is cweber00@liu.edu.
Okay.
So yeah, if you want to get plugged in, then you can contact me and then I'll get you to the right person based on your availability or if you just have questions.
Good deal. Hey, Caden, thanks for coming in, man. We're really excited about, you know, what you guys are doing. We've been watching this from a distance for a while, and I think it's pretty incredible that college students would first wake up that time of day and secondly, at least be alert enough to go serve somebody in need. So please reach out to your club and tell them how much we appreciate it, and we hope that we can send you some more volunteers.
I'll send the message their way. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, and we're continuing with the conversations with leaders of our service clubs. Ricky Lee, Germany, right?
Yes, sir. Is it,
you go by Ricky Lee or Ricky? I call you. I've always called you Ricky Lee as long as you've been at Lee.
Yes, I like to go by Ricky Lee, but most people shorten it, so I'm good with either.
That's all good. So now the club that you're with is called Best Buddies.
Yes, sir.
Right. So Best Buddies is part of a national network.
Mm-hmm. International, actually.
International network. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, give us kind of a description of Best Buddies. What in the world is this thing we call Best Buddies?
Yeah. So it's an international network organization, and they pair individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities with individuals without for one-on-one friendships. That's our main focus at our chapter at Lee, but then Best Buddies in general also they focus on independent living, community outreach, and job placement. And so it's a really cool organization.
Now you're a nursing major here at Lee.
Yes,
right?
I am.
And
mm-hmm.
so this is kind of a fun kind of a career builder, I guess, for you or part of the process. But why did you get involved in Best Buddies in the start with?
So I started about 6 years ago, and I've just always had a passion in my heart for individuals with disabilities ever since I was a kid. And so when I got to college and found out that it existed, I was just like gung-ho for it and all in. And so it's been a huge part of my life ever since then.
So I know that there are a couple of bus buddies that we could call by name. We won't call them by name, but we could call them by name that mm-hmm. you and I know. And so I've seen kind of the interaction between, you know, the friends, the college students and the best buddy. So what are some other success stories that you're seeing, you know, when you talk about Best Buddies? What are you seeing in both peer development of your peers, the students, and then the impact this relationship is having on the actual Best Buddy?
Yeah, so it's been really awesome because we get a lot of people who are interested and they don't know what we do. And then they come and they say, oh, well, I've never had experience with anyone with a disability before, so this isn't for me. And it's cool to be like, why don't you stick around? Join at like the lower commitment level and just see what we're about. And then they just like grow to love it as well. And they make so many friends and realize that people with disabilities, it's no different than starting a friendship with someone without a disability. And so that's been really awesome to see. And then as far as like the buddies go, it's been great because it's just one of the main missions of Best Buddies is to strive for inclusion.
Mm.
And I've just been able to see that grow throughout even my 6 years being involved. And it's just been beautiful to just see them realize that like they're just a part of this campus and this community as any of us are. And so it's been pretty cool.
Now, there's different levels of involvement that I'm hearing you talk about, right? So explain that to us. What are ways that students, Lee students, can get involved that are interested? What does it look like for them? What is the commitment? And what would they be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have two different levels. There is an associate member level. And this is the level I always recommend to people if they're not sure or if they're involved in a lot and they don't want to be overly committed. So as an associate member, there are no actual requirements. So you come to what you can. You don't have a one-on-one buddy friendship, so you get to be friends with everyone. So it's really fun that way because then you really do get to know everyone in the club. And like I said, you come to what you can. So if there's something you can't make, there's no pressure, there's no penalty or anything like that. And then the other level is the peer buddy level. That's where you're matched one-on-one with a buddy. And so there's more of a commitment with that, but I also say there's higher reward as well because you truly get to know this person and become best friends with them. And so with that, there are certain requirements through best buddies where you have to see them at least twice a month and have communication with them of some sorts four times a month. Which, if you think about your relationship with your best friend, that's nothing.
Right.
And so it starts off as a requirement, and then it just kind of becomes like a lifestyle almost.
Now, over the years, I've seen that you guys actually do a couple of projects on campus, right? So what do those look like?
Projects
like
on
a Christmas
campus.
Thing you guys do or something like that? There's some kind of relationship building goes on, you know, with the buddies on campus?
Yeah, so we host an event once a month on campus.
That's what I was asking.
Yes,
though.
Okay. And in the past, it's been very, like, it's just our organization, just our club. And so this year, we're actually working on opening up some events to campus-wide.
Oh, good.
So that way, more people can experience what we do. Because unfortunately, a lot of people don't know we exist.
Right.
And so we're working on that. So our first event, September 26th. Is going to be campus-wide, and we're going to invite everyone out to a big cookout at the Forum, and we're going to have good food, games, and you can just come meet Lee students in the club and also meet the buddies.
Wow. So if somebody wants to connect with you personally, you know, or see if they get involved, where do they meet, when do they meet, how do they come to like a club orientation, or how do they connect with you guys direct?
So all of our meetings and events are on Thursdays, and then we have optional events on Fridays and Saturdays as well. But the best way to get more information or find out more details is to contact me through my Lee email, which is rgerma00@leeu.edu, or text or call me at 216-538-9829.
Okay. Good deal. Ricky Lee, my friend, I'm glad to see you back at Lee University, obviously, from a short break away, and delighted that you're still plugged into Best Buddies and looking forward to what you guys are doing. So thanks for coming in, okay?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Lim.
All right. Hey, we're continuing this conversation. My guest is Savannah Brasher with Creation Care, one of our service clubs here on the campus. What's up, Savannah?
Good.
So you're a senior, right?
Yes, I am.
So how long have you been involved in this club?
I have been involved since my freshman year. However, I've been more involved the officer aspect since my junior year.
Okay. So how long has Creation Care, because it's a fairly new club, right? It's just been a few years.
Well, it's been around for about 6 years.
6 years. Okay.
So newer.
All right. So tell us what the real mission or the vision of Creation Care Club is and what you guys do.
So our mission is really to provide education and information and, most importantly, opportunities for students and faculty to see God's creation and what we can do to be stewards of that creation.
So now that's a pretty broad idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of hone it in a little bit for us and explain to us when you say, you know, be good stewards of God's creation. What are you exactly talking about?
So we believe that we, as Christians, we are called to care for okay. God's creation. And so in that sense of stewardship, we think that we should be actively doing things that would help the environment around us. So in some of the sense of things our club does is recycling or trash cleanups, doing something that directly impacts the earth around us.
So now is this taking place both here at Lee's campus and also in the area, the community surrounding us? Or where do you actually do these types of activities at?
So the recycling is here on campus.
Okay.
It would be really great if we could broaden that to the whole Cleveland area, but we're starting small.
Yeah.
And as for the trash cleanups, those happen from here in Cleveland and even as far as maybe Knoxville or something like that, where there are hiking paths that we do trash cleanups on. But our most popular one is actually a park trash cleanup that's here in Cleveland.
So let's talk about the personal growth of people who are involved in this, right? So mm-hmm. what does it look like for somebody who comes in and they start volunteering with your club, you know, and or how have you developed yourself mm-hmm. over the last, you know, 4 years mm-hmm. in this process?
Yeah, I think my personal experience is not so unique as myself. There are quite a few students who are involved that I've talked to go through the same thing that I did, which was freshman year, you show up, you hear that the club likes to go hiking, and so you're like, well, I need someone to go hike with.
That's a good idea.
Perfect place. Yeah. So I started that in my freshman year. I showed up to maybe two meetings, and I just went on the hikes. And then as I got more involved with the people mm-hmm. there, I started listening to their stories and seeing how they looked at creation, and it made me want to be more involved. And so then I got into the gardening, into the recycling. And so it sort of started as like from an aesthetic view of the environment, like it's pretty, I like it, to a responsibility for the environment. So it's pretty and I like it, so I should do something to keep it that way. Mm-hmm. And then it furthered even more into, well, God calls us to be stewards of the earth. God calls us to care for his creation. Mm-hmm. And so now my responsibility is that it's something of my own faith. God wants me to care for what he has created for us.
Good. So are you guys part of a larger organization, maybe nationwide? Or are there a lot of different, you know, you hear about this kind of stuff all the time, mm-hmm. right? You know, be good stewards, global warming, all kinds of crazy things, right? So tell me, are there other organizations that you're part of that Creation Care does something with, or what?
We're actually looking into joining in with some larger organizations. Okay. There's one that's sort of based in Chattanooga called Green Spaces.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, and so we're looking into joining in their family of nonprofits and businesses to try and see what we can learn from them,
right,
and then what we can do with them. And there's another organization called Arosha, mm-hmm. which is a sort of environmental organization that does a lot of like workshops and information and those sorts of things for people in various areas around the U.S.
Okay. So aside from a, hey, let's go hiking kind of invitation, mm-hmm. right? What are other ways that students can get involved in, and how do they reach mm-hmm. out to you guys? How do they connect with Creation Care?
So one of the most popular things that we do other than hiking is our gardening. So that is our major service aspect of the club, is we go gardening every Saturday at the Wheeler's Farm, which is really nice. Yeah. So we have that campus connection to it. And so we're actually doing that on Saturdays this semester at around 10 a.m. And we meet at the Humanities right before then, so at like 9:40, so that we can carpool over. And we have Instagram, Twitter. You can even email me.
Okay, what's your email address?
So my email is sbrash01, so sbrash01 at leeu.edu. And we also have a club email that is leeucreationcareclub. Okay. So
at
gmail.com. Okay.
Tell us about your social media network. So what are those? How are those listed?
Our Instagram is Lee_CCC.
Okay.
So Lee_ with three C's.
Okay.
And that's our Instagram.
Good deal. So is there a particular time during the semester that students should get involved, or does it matter?
It doesn't really matter, but it is, since we do so much outdoors, it is very weather dependent. So earlier in the semester, we're definitely going to be doing a lot more because it's going to be warm and sunny.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. Hey, thanks for coming in. We're pretty excited about it, and we appreciate what you guys do. I know I've met with your team on a number mm-hmm. of occasions, and so I champion your work. And so just wanted to tell you thanks for that. And we hopefully some students will connect with you guys this semester, and maybe they'll stick around like you did for four semesters. So it'd be, or 4 years, actually. So mm-hmm. it'd be great. Thanks
a
lot.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye. All right, Ashley Strasser, not Strasser or Stresser, right?
Nope, Strasser.
There you go. So Ashley Strasser is the leader of our tutoring center. Now, that's kind of a generic name for a great club, right?
Yes.
Ashley, you're a senior at Lee University. How long have you been involved in this club?
I've been involved in this club for 2 years now.
So when we say tutoring center, give us some information about that, like who's able to come, what age groups, what class levels, any of those kind of things that are important.
Right. So the tutoring center is open to families and students in the community of Cleveland. whether they're homeschooled or they go to public school, they are more than welcome to come on Tuesday nights. And Lee College students come and tutor them for just a couple hours on a Tuesday night. Their parents will usually either stick around or tend to like kind of see what's like how the college students kind of tutor them. And they usually bring their homework, and the college students just work alongside them, whether it's helping them prepare for a test or just working on homework or a worksheet. So
tell me this. Does it matter what major you have as far as a student's concerned? Can anybody participate in this activity?
Yeah, really anyone can. A lot of times there'll be a lot of freshman benevolence classes that come in and help them. So it just kind of gets those freshmen started on what service looks like at Lee. But it does not matter your major at all. I've had multiple different students from across all majors come in and tutor the kids. It's really awesome.
So what's the real mission behind this program?
Obviously, the more obvious mission of the tutoring center is to help those kids complete their homework and sometimes give those parents some relief of maybe some things that they couldn't possibly do themselves. But also, something that I've realized about what I love about the club is that I think it gives a lot of students confidence and helps them realize their educational potential when a college student that's maybe not an authority figure is like, hey, like you did a really great job on this assignment or on this problem. I think it encourages them a lot to know that someone that they might think is really cool and could never like communicate with them normally gives them the opportunity to do that. So I think it's really cool.
So it's also based on the idea of the relationship as much as it is the actual tutoring.
Yeah.
So give me a story or two. Tell me something that you've observed over the years that you've seen, maybe in your own life, maybe one of your peer tutors, maybe in the life of one of the students that came to be tutored, right? So where a success story of something that, you know, was beneficial that happened.
Yeah, I actually have several. One is that a girl in middle school came a couple times, and eventually her mom wanted to have private lessons outside of the tutoring center. So she would come in on Tuesdays and work with either me or another college student that was there. And then I actually got the job of a private tutor on Wednesday that following day. So every week I would get to see her again and further that relationship and also get paid. And then two other girls in elementary school, they've been coming for the entire time that I've been here, and I've actually been to their birthday parties. Their mom invited me to their birthday party. She turned 10 and it was so cute. It was at like a church and stuff. So there's just a lot more relationship that's built outside of just those 2 hours on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool.
Now, all of this is helpful for you because actually you're going to be a school teacher, right?
Yeah.
If you pass these methods classes you're currently in.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. So for the Lee students that might be considering joining the club, right, what do they need to know in the way of specifics? When do they come? How do they get there? What's expected of them when they get there? You know, is this a one-time shot? Do you want people to commit for the course of a semester? What's important with regard to that?
Yeah, so it's every week on a Tuesday from 4:30 to 6:30 on the second
during floor. The school year only. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
okay.
During
not
the school
summer.
Year. Yeah, okay. That would make a lot more sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just from 4:30 to 6:30 on the second floor of the Leonard Center, and again, it's for all college students, any major. Preferably, I like to look for college students that are willing to put in more than just a couple weeks because I do believe in the commitment, and I also believe in the fact that these kids want consistency in their relationships, and I think that they're more willing to learn and to understand the educational content when they have a similar face every week to go to about it, and they're not trying to like adjust or be nervous because there's a new college kid this week and then next week they know it'll be somebody different. I think at least I've seen personally the kids that see the same college students every week are the ones that are like eager to learn and do their homework. So I like to look for freshmen through seniors that are willing to put in at least a semester to like every week for 2 hours, just be with those kids and help them.
And really their expertise in any particular subject doesn't really matter, right? This is just basic tutoring you're talking about.
Yes. There's only been one time where a high schooler came in with some trigonometry business. I was
business. I like how you said that.
I was not a lot of help in that area. Thankfully, there was a guy in there that was really good at math. But most of the time, it's middle school or elementary mm-hmm. school. Very common, obvious, easy stuff.
So. Okay. So do the parents or guardians have to, reserve this or just kind of a show up anytime as long as it's on that Tuesday afternoon at that hour, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much they just come on in. We try to make sure our name is known pretty well throughout the school systems. But that's one thing that I would like to work more on is just mm-hmm. getting our name out there. So mm-hmm.
good deal. All right, guys. So this is Ashley Strasser. And again, a little stressed maybe today, but Ashley, I've seen you work this club for a couple of years. And man, I really appreciate what you do. This has been a good fit for you, I think, and a great fit for us. And so how do they reach out to you if they want to, do you have an email address that they can email if they're interested?
I do. Right. It's astras, STRAS, 00 at leeu.edu. And you're more than willing to, if you're more than willing, you can contact me at any point. So
good deal. All right, Ashley, thanks a lot. And hey, get to class and pass well so someday you can teach, okay?
Hopefully. Thank you.
See you, kiddo. And we're continuing with our interviews with the service club leaders. And now in the studio is Hannah Devine. Hello, Hannah. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So you are the current leader of this club called 423.
Yes, Life 423.
Yeah. I'm glad you put life in front of that because the actual area code for Cleveland, Tennessee is actually 423. So it's kind of interesting. Now, what in the world did this name Life 423 come from? And what does your club stand for? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so Life 423 came from Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And that's kind of where we got the name, and we serve at three different middle schools in the Cleveland area. And through that, we're able to show love and a little bit about Jesus and care for the girls and mentor them and give life to them through Jesus.
Now, I've been to one of your 423 gatherings. So for our listeners who have not yet seen it with their own eyes, what does that look like? So all of these kids come after school voluntarily, right?
Right.
And they meet you guys in the library or somewhere else. So to walk us through for just a minute, what does that exchange look like between those students and the lead volunteers?
Yeah, so we meet at the three different middle schools. Cleveland and Ocoee meet on Thursdays from 3:30 to 5. They typically get out around 3:30, but it is middle school, so all of the grades get out at different times. And at Cleveland and Ocoee, what it kind of looks like is they'll get there, go to the library or to the sponsor. We have a sponsor at each middle school. Or they'll go to their sponsor's room, and then they'll have a snack. Since we're a service club through the Leonard Center, we use our grant money to help purchase snacks for the girls. And we hang out with them and just kind of get to know them and fellowship with them for the first few minutes until they all get in there. And then after that, we do some sort of activity to get them engaged. And then after we get them kind of engaged and kind of excited for the program, we'll do either a Bible story or some sort of lesson, whether it's about beauty or honestly, we do so many different things. This semester, we're focusing on women in the Bible, and we're doing a different woman each week. And so we'll do that at all three schools. And then at the end, we either do journals or we do small group, and they'll get with a Lee mentor, the middle school girls will, and we'll kind of talk to them about the lesson, hear their thoughts on it, and then we'll talk about their highs and their lows of the week. And the same kind of goes for Lake Forest, even though it's on Mondays, we kind of do the same thing. They start in their cafeteria, and then after they do snack, they migrate to the classroom, and then they do the same kind of program there.
Cool. So how long have you been involved in this club?
I have been involved for 2.5 years.
Why did you join?
So I knew that middle school was just a very valuable and important time for people just in general. And I knew that specifically middle school girls really need someone there to help guide them through all of the random things that happen in middle school. So I was trying to figure out a club that would kind of fulfill that for me, find that little option. And I stumbled upon Life 423. One of my friends had said that she knew someone in the club, and then I joined the second semester of my sophomore year, and then last year, my junior year, I was able to be the vice president, and so I really got to be thrown in and kind of learn about the club a little bit more, and I started at Ocoee Middle School, and that's now I kind of jump around between all three schools, and now I'm a senior, and I'm the president of the club.
So do you have a success story of maybe a particular student or even one of your peers, a lead volunteer, you know, whose life was kind of changed and maybe, you know, without identifying them, kind of give us an idea of what that success story looks like?
Yeah, so we actually have a couple of girls on the Lee side that were involved with Life 423 when they were in middle school. One of the girls on our leadership team, she actually went to Ocoee and she was able to really be impacted by that. And that's kind of what has inspired her to keep doing it. And then whenever we were interviewing people for placements for schools, we found another girl that had said that she was really looking forward to it because she actually got to do it in middle school as well. So
hold on a minute. So you're saying that the lead volunteers were actually middle school students who participated in the 423 when they were in middle school?
Yes, we have that's a few cool. of them. And yeah. that's been really cool for it to come full circle for them and for us to see that we're actually like making a lasting impact on the girls
yeah.
and that there's some in the Cleveland area still that want to be involved too.
That is awesome. So what are you seeing in the transformation of the students from the schools? For example, let's say a student comes to you when they're their first year in middle school. Do they usually stay all the way through for 3 years of middle school with you guys?
Yes, so we're usually really lucky to have most of them stay. We'll get a lot of 7th graders, so it'll be their 7th and 8th grade, but sometimes we'll have a really big group of 6th graders, and most of them will stay with us for all 3 years, which is really cool to see, like, what they're going through and, like, how they're changing and maturing and how they're changing in their friends and kind of figuring out what they want to do and just how they're involved in the community as well.
So last closing thoughts from you with regard to you've been in this club for 2.5 years. What advice now as a senior would you give to an incoming freshman at Lee University who is trying to find their place in this whole idea of service that we talk about?
Yeah. So I knew for me, my freshman year, I was kind of involved with service because of classes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I really didn't know what to do. I was like, I need service hours, but I also need to serve because I love serving. And my advice would be to just get plugged in. No matter what it is, get plugged in, have a community of people around you, and find that club or that extracurricular activity that really gets you plugged in and able to serve others.
Fantastic. You've already given us the times and the dates of when they meet, but what if a student wants to email you direct, or do you have a club social media presence or anything like that? What do you have?
Yes, we have Instagram and we have Facebook. You can search Life 423 and you'll find us. And you can also email me. My email is hdevin01@leeu.edu. Or we have a Life 423 Gmail, so it's life423ministry@gmail.com. So you can contact us in any of those ways, and we'll get you plugged in.
Fantastic. All right, thanks a lot for coming in. We appreciate it, okay?
Thank you.
Guys, thank you for hanging in here for 2 episodes now, and this is actually the last interview of the final episode of our conversations with the Lee University Service Club leaders. In the studio is my friend Dory Hatchett. Hey, Dory, how you doing?
Hey, Dr. Lamb, I'm doing swell. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you are. She said swell, and I said well, so there's the difference in the generations, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you for joining me. You've been involved in, this is called the Towers Ministry, right?
Yes.
So this is an organization that you guys are serving in that is literally serving the senior living apartment complex that's just adjacent to our campus. Is that correct?
Yes.
Cool. So why did you join this club, and maybe tell us a little bit about what you guys do?
Yeah. So I joined this club freshman year. I was not able to do, so all of the Lee University freshmen are required to do benevolence,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was not able to do the group project with my benevolence class, so I did my own service project, but it became something so much more than that. I tagged along a gal named Mallory, who's incredible. She's graduated now, but I tagged along with her as well as Will McQuestion with the Towers and made that my benevolence project, and I've kind of been on and off with it ever since, but definitely ramping up my involvement this year. It's, to my knowledge, a very unknown club on campus, one of the smallest.
It is.
But, which is surprising because it's so centrally located right behind the Humanities Building. You don't even need a vehicle to get there.
There you go.
And we talk a lot about community and serving our neighbors and interacting with the Lee community, but I I don't know if we do a good job as of just segregating the community to a LEAS student, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a low-income housing facility. I think I'm going beyond what you asked.
No, it's great.
But
no.
Low-income housing facility that houses majority 60-plus. That's okay. The people who live there. And most of the residents can't afford assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're there without the means to drive to the grocery store, without the means to really get the care that they need. And so we take groceries to them from provided by the food bank every Friday at 3 o'clock. Friday at 3 o'clock. That's where we will be. And it's just a really swell time. But it's so much more than the food, because I think especially the elderly, I know students on campus are susceptible to this thinking. But when you're at that age, the end of your life, you kind of think, okay, what else do I have to give? You know, I've come this far. Do I have anything else to contribute to the world? And being able to sit and just listen to them tell stories, I think, I don't know. For me, the vision for this club is recognition of personhood.
Oh, good. Good.
And I think that's established when you get to listen to their stories and they feel like they are contributing.
So you're letting them know they matter by your presence there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously without revealing any particular names of any of the people you serve, do you have a success story or maybe can you take us to an exchange moment where your service made them absolutely know they mattered, but also their presence made an impact in your life? Mm-hmm. You got a story to tell? I know you always have stories to tell, but do you have one here that you think might be fitting?
Yes. I think one of my favorite stories, it's going to be hard for me not to say his name, but I established a relationship with someone who lives in the towers. And I grew up, my mom always said, oh, it's such a small world, so you have to behave everywhere you go.
There you go.
And that definitely came into fruition last semester in the CAF. So I ran into this person that I established a relationship with. He's 72 years old.
Nice.
And I serve as a chaplain on campus.
Yep.
And he and his wife actually served in chaplain ministry in California.
Oh, wow.
And so he's kind of just talked with, it's just nice to talk with him about that.
Sure.
Going weekly, but I saw him in the CAF and he has familial relationships at LEAS. And so I was walking and I said, Mr. Blank, I won't say his name, but, and he just lit up and gave me a big hug in the CAF and we ended up sitting down and having dinner. I got to meet his members of his family and it was just like, oh, I think the walls outside of the LEAS community are not as big as we make them seem sometimes.
Yeah. So that's a great story. So I think the question I have for you is, how are you seeing that your connection with this guy each week or with this, you know, elderly resident each week is making that long-lasting impact? How are you different as a result of that? Now, I know you're in the cafeteria, you know, and you call his name. And that's a great memory moment for you guys. But how are you different now? How are you going to look at life differently after kind of adopting this particular person while you're here at school? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let's see. So I've always been a pretty futuristic thinker in the sense of, I wonder what I'll be like at this point in my life, you know? And I don't know. I think it's really impactful for me to be able to establish relationships with someone that I could see myself, if Lord willing, obviously, see myself being down the road. And if I put myself in his place, what would it mean to me to have a college student run up to me in the CAF and say, hey, Dory, how are you? Yeah. How you doing? And so thinking of, okay, what would I want in that if I were in his shoes? What relationships would I want to establish and how would I feel if I was kind of cooped up in this housing facility all day, not really seeing my family, not really having many interactions with people on a daily basis? What would it do for me and my spirit to have someone that happy to see me, but also to have those relationships on my end right now in this, where I'm at right now in my shoes today? His happiness to see me added more than I think he knows.
And there's obviously plenty of other residents that could benefit from this if we had more volunteers there, right?
Absolutely.
So how can a student who hears this and wants to volunteer with you guys with the Towers Ministry, how do they get in contact?
So you can email myself at dhatch00@leeu.edu.
H-A-T-C-H.
Yes.
Spell it out.
dhatch00@leeu.edu. And just email me with whatever questions you have, or cool. If you don't want to do that, meet us behind the Humanities Building, 3:00 on Fridays. We bring groceries and then we just head on over. And we just spend about an hour or two with the residents, and we pack up groceries Good. And just hang out with them, really.
Thanks, Dory. I appreciate you taking the time to come in.
Thank you
for all of the energy that I've seen you over the years, you know, provide for people of need, okay?
Thank you, Dr. Lim.
You got it. Hey, guys, thank you for joining us on these two episodes. I hope you have enjoyed your time listening to us. With each of these, you can look in the show notes listed on the actual ServeCast location, wherever that might be for you, Spotify or Apple Podcasts, however you reach that. There's going to be show notes there, and they will actually have the contact information for each one of these clubs and organizations should you desire to volunteer. As always on ServeCast, we want to remind you that you're made for more. You're made to make an impact in someone else's life. So thank you for your service and continue to do so. Until next time, have a great day.